We've just come back from 2 weeks away. It's not always easy going away. Paul can really struggle. He's not here, so I can say this. But the first few days, he really struggled and was homesick and didn't want to be there. And I was thinking, oh my, we're away for 2 weeks. And we need to be away for 2 weeks because we had certain junctions or different things that we were also doing or committed to doing during those 2 weeks. Anyway, last Saturday, so we're a few days into the holiday, and last Saturday we'd had a really nice day out in Kent, and we were in St. Margaret's Bay, and Paul had sort of sat in the car for a bit because we'd gone for a walk, and anyway, got back, and basically the immobiliser wasn't working. So, you know, keep trying it, car won't start. So we have to call out recovery, which my heart sinks. Anyway, the recovery driver comes out, and they're all doing car talk and looking at different things and getting different gadgets out and different. Anyway, we're going to have to be recovered back to Colville because basically, you know, no garage is going to be able to sort it out in time or whatever. So my heart sinks even more, especially when they tell me that it's going to be probably 8 hours or more to get home. And I'm like thinking, then we've got to get back to Folkestone and then on to the rest of our holiday. Anyway, Paul's response to this is like, oh, this is my happiest day of my holiday. What? And basically, so we're getting recovered. And so first driver, and they're talking about machine mart and tools and, I don't know, you know, different things that they've got. Second driver, carry on talking about classic cars and stuff. And then we have, oh yeah, second driver was supposed to, I understood them that they were going to take us all the way to Colville, but no, they were going to stop at Thurrock, which is near Dartford. And so, anyway, cut a long story short, get the car off at Thurrock, and the car starts. Praise God. So, I mean, we've been trying it, believe me, all the drivers and everybody have been trying to get this car, you know, because it's just the immobiliser that's not working. But for me, it was a God moment, because actually up until that point, Paul was like really struggling with being away. And I thought, part of the thought was the recovery was the fact that he wanted to come home and then, you know, sort of have a night in his bed. But it wasn't, because he was like wanting to, you know, his plan was, as soon as we got home, was, you know, have a night's sleep and then we'd drive straight off. But he's been so chilled out ever since that incident. So for me, it was quite stressful, but for him, it made his holiday. So I thank God. Works in mysterious ways, but that's...
I think I better add a little bit of meat on the bones to what Daniel said. At camp, there are always battles. And actually, the sooner that you realise that you're in a battle, the easier it is. And you know what to expect. There were one practical thing, just before I talk about Daniel, and what Daniel said. In prep week, so the setup week, we'd set up the fridges. These are gas fridges. They don't run off electric. They're highly strange. They're not the sort of thing you can go and buy at Argos. And if they go wrong, they've gone wrong forever, and that's the end of it. There's not a lot you can do about them. So we had two of these, and the last day, we noticed that one of them was not running properly. And there's not a lot you can do with a gas fridge by way of maintenance. And so we prayed over it, and we turned it upside down a couple of times, which is one thing you can do with them. And we set it back on again. Came back the next day, and we were measuring the temperature in it. The cooks were getting a little bit nervy as to whether they were going to be able to rely on it. But praise the Lord, it held out. It held out for the whole of camp. And that was a real, what did Vanessa say, God moment. And definitely the same. And that's just something in the background that very few people knew about. But it was one little battle. Then the first week, which is what Daniel was talking about, was quite difficult, actually. It was one of those weeks where you feel that you're banging on a wall and you're waiting for God to break it down. And the gospel night on the Tuesday is always a battle, because Satan doesn't want the gospel proclaimed, does he? He doesn't want Jesus proclaimed as Lord of all. So the Tuesday night is often a very difficult one, but also can be quite a watershed. And so it wasn't surprising when Daniel came and told us that that's what he had seen. And come the end of Wednesday, things really changed. And again, I don't think it was something which everybody in the camp would have been aware of, but we, as the group of leaders, were aware that, you know, there was this spiritual battle and there were things which we knew we had to stand against. And Wednesday night, actually on the gospel night, we decided to actually do something slightly different. We do a lot of praying at camp, but we decided we would pray specifically at the start of the gospel meeting before everybody came in. And we did that as probably a group of about 30 odd of us together. And from that point on, things began to change and we could sense God really moving. And come the Thursday morning, it was a completely different atmosphere in the camp. And just to round that off, at the end of the week, so on the Friday night, they can give testimony of what's happened. And there was a girl that had come in a group, and that group had been quite difficult. Elizabeth can give you all the gory details. Well, she wouldn't, but you know what I mean. And she just said one thing, this girl. She said, I came, she'd never been to camp before, and I think she was, let me think, Sudanese background, or maybe Angolan, I forget which now. Pardon? Ugandan, sorry, okay. And she said, my dad's Muslim, my mum's a Christian, and so I decided today, or this week, that I'm going to follow my mum's religion. And then those sort of things which have happened in the week click. You think, right, no wonder there's been such a battle. Here's this girl, she's got a Muslim father, she's got a Christian mother. The whole life is a battle, a spiritual battle. And so when you hear those little snippets, it's really, well, I think it gives you a little bit of light on the battle that you've been through, or you feel you've been through. And it's also good to be able to praise God that he's brought you through and that he's won.
I'd half hoped that this story of this girl that I'm going to tell you now, I would half hope that she would be able to come this morning, but it is a little bit tricky. Her family may not be awfully supportive, but you'll have to keep filling me in. Was it Tuesday? I'm going to go with Tuesday. The whole way through, she'd sort of listened, not really seeming to engage, just sat quietly, quite just in herself. And Tuesday, for some reason, towards the end of the evening meeting, she decided, or Harvey decided, that they needed to go get something back from the tent. So this little girl and Harvey and Chris Scott walked back to the tent to get whatever. And as they were walking there, and as they were walking back, somehow the conversation came up about how she felt very badly about herself and how she didn't like herself and all of the difficult things that she was going through. And Harvey was sharing how when he met Jesus, his life had been changed. And Chris Scott was sharing with her about Jesus. And they got back to the big top. By that point, the rest of everybody else had sort of left. But she wanted to continue a conversation. So Harvey and Chris and this girl sat down together and they continued to talk. And after a while, she says, I think that's what I want. I want to know Jesus. And so they led her in a simple prayer of salvation. And immediately, she, in her own words, she will say, and immediately after, I fell asleep. And while I was sleeping, I heard a voice talk to me. And so I looked around because I didn't know who it was. And then I fell asleep again. And the voice talked to me again. And the voice told me, and these are her words, I'm not embellishing it. The voice told me I was beautiful. And the voice told me that they loved me the way I was. And then I was so excited, and I sat up and I ran around the campsite about three times, and Chris will verify that she was completely wired. And then she came and talked to me the next morning. She talked to all of us, I think, individually, and was so excited. And what she said to me, she says, well, whenever I was sitting, even on the ground, I would look down at my leg and I would go, oh, I don't really like that bit. I wish it could just be a bit different. And no, I don't like my feet. They're really ugly. And she said, I'd look at pictures of myself on my phone and I'd go, you know, I just need to fix this bit and I need to fix that bit and my hair. This girl is 11. And she says, but then when I woke up after hearing the voice, she says, I just thought I'd test this out. And she looked at pictures of herself on the phone and she saw herself and she thought, actually, I am beautiful. I don't need to change. I'm okay. I'm good the way I am. And she was so excited. I think she could hardly stop looking at herself on the phone. So the next morning, they always give one last opportunity for the kids to go forward. The ones that have held out to the bitter end to go forward and give their hearts to Jesus if they want to. And she dragged Abby up because they always say you can take a friend if you want. So Abby became the friend. And they went forward and were prayed. And they came back. And wouldn't you know, she's down flat on the floor again, asleep in her words. I just had to lie down, she said. And I heard the voice again, she says. Now this is a girl who has got no religious background. This is, you know, she doesn't know that you're supposed to be filled with the Holy Spirit and hear God speak to you and you. She doesn't know that language. And she says, and the voice told me how proud of me they were because I'd gone forward with all those people. And she was so, so excited and so brave. She wanted to tell everybody. She says, I just want to tell everybody. And we were sitting outside and one of our big Youth for Christ national worker people came along and I said, oh, just come and listen to this girl's story. And I thought she'd clam up because, to be fair, till Tuesday, she hadn't said two words to, well, she certainly hadn't said two words to me. She'd hardly said two words to anybody. And she just tells her whole story out to Thea about what God has done for her. And, oh, we were just so excited. We were excited for lots of reasons. We were excited because somebody had come to know Jesus. We were excited because we see that, you know, the Holy Spirit is still in the business of radically transforming lives. And you don't need to know all of the fancy words or even how it works to know that God is doing something amazing. And, you know, and it was just so exciting for all of these guys as well who were there and seeing this happen. It was really, really brilliant. So we had that, but do pray for her and her twin sister who says, I don't believe in God, but that's fine, I'm happy. So, but really pray that we can have a breakthrough with that family and that they will let her come to church and maybe even come themselves. So I just wanted to share that little story. So to give you all a little bit of the touch of the joy that we have had and a hope that God is still so active and alive here in Colville.